We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Barry Took, and Peter Cook in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have two guests this week, a Cook and a Took, and they're going to take on our two regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. But we're a great pleasure to welcome Barry Took and Peter Cook. And as usual, they're going to try and speak for just a minute. You didn't bother with that. Save it for later. If they can, on the subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject. And we're going to begin the show this week with Kenneth Williams, and it is My Other Self. Kenneth, can you tell us something about My Other Self in 60 seconds, starting now?
My Other Self, or alt...
And Peter Cook is challenged right away. Peter.
I thought I'd better get in early, because otherwise I might not be noticed, and I had to bring up the possibility of deviation here. Which has been talked about, which self is he talking about, and has he deviated from himself while he was talking about himself?
Well, the only deviation that's occurred is the fellow never even started. It's the first time anybody's buzzed within the first second since the series started many years ago. So it was a wrong challenge, Peter, but nice to hear from you, and the listeners now know you're here as well and didn't miss your bus.
I thought he did awfully well then.
Yes, and that was Barry Took, and... Kenneth Williams still has the subject with a point for a wrong challenge, of course.
Perfect.
And there are 58 seconds on My Other Self starting now.
It is the side few people ever see. I closely guard this private person because all of us do cherish some secret feeling which we feel, if it were to be betrayed...
Barry Tucker's challenged.
Well, I thought he was going on alarmingly. I mean, it was feel and feeling, and he's getting all emotional about himself.
Yes, but you can still be emotional. That's not deviation in just a minute. Kenneth, you have 42 seconds to continue with My Other Self, starting now.
It was Emerson, I believe, who said, "We have as many personalities as we have friends. Mine, consequently, are varied and extraordinary." Many times people say, "Well, we saw a side of you we didn't know existed." Oh, how wonderful it was to have the curtain, or the veil, as it were, lifted on your proclivities. We do like to see this kind of thing. And, of course, it is true that when we do see something which we didn't think...
Peter Cook, a challenge.
There's a constant stream of wee-wees. That's repetition.
That was repetition, yes. And as it's you're the guest and you haven't ever played the game before, Barry Took did play once in the last series. Peter, I give you the correct challenge, a point for that, of course, and there are 9 seconds left on My Other Self, starting now.
I like to think my other self is still where I always used to keep it, on my mother's shelf. She believes that that part of me that she adores...
Well, Ian Messiter blows his whistle after 60 seconds, and whoever is speaking at that moment gets an extra point. And on this occasion, it was our guest, Peter Cook. So he's got 2 points in that round, and Kenneth Williams got 2 points, and they're equal in the lead. And you needn't clap, because it's not really worth it. Clement Freud's going to begin the next round, and the subject is The One I Sit Next To. Clement, can you tell us something... for the sake of the listeners, it was a very sardonic look from Clement towards Kenneth Williams, which got the laugh. 60 seconds, Clement starting now.
Can I begin by saying good evening? And I didn't come late, I just didn't get in on the last round. The one I sit next to is the only man with a duosyllabic surname among the four of us on the team. And his name is Kenneth Williams, actor, journeyman performer, comes all the way from Great Portland Street. Thin, balding, hard of hearing, eagle-eyed, bad feet.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, I'm not balding.
Yes, I quite agree. You were very slow there, Kenneth.
Well, I come to, you see, in the middle of it, in the preparation, you see.
Because otherwise all this audience would think that would be a top piece you've got, wouldn't
balding.
They?
Balding.
Well, I'm not balding.
No.
I mean, you ask them. You ask them, Nick. You
no,
ask them.
No, ask them to give a little tug.
Do I look balding? No. Oh, they said yes.
Kenneth, well, I agree. You are not balding. Well preserved for your years on your top piece as well as elsewhere. There are 31 seconds on the one I sit next to, starting now.
He is, of course, as you all know, the Liberal MP for Ely.
Clement Freud has challenged.
He was going to correct himself. It's the Isle of Ely.
No, I was going to say that. Oh. I mean, you
give
took
him
the words
point.
Right
no,
out of my mouth.
I think that I'm sure that some
he
people...
He took the words out of my mouth.
Yes, I
he
did.
You don't know where they've been.
I think some people colloquially might refer to it as that. I know correctly it is the Isle of Ely. So we leave it with Kenneth with a point for a wrong challenge and 25 seconds left, starting now.
And a great pleasure it has been for me over the years to sit next to a man of such distinction and such academic excellence. It is unusual in an age noted for its illiteracy and stupidity to find this kind of rich repository. I have therefore made use of it on more than one occasion and have gone to
Peter Cook has challenged.
It doesn't make sense. You were talking about him and then you referred to him as it. He's either an it or a him.
A very good challenge of deviation, Peter. And you've got him with 3 seconds to go. And you've got somebody in that audience who keeps trying to clap every time I mention your name. And not only that, she keeps moving as well, so you've got someone running around. 3 seconds, Peter, on the one I sit next to, starting now.
The lonely clapper is the lady...
Peter Cook, our guest, got in again just before the whistle went and spoke as he did so and got that extra point. And he's still in the lead, but alongside Kenneth Williams, they're the only ones to score so far. Barry Took, will you take the next round? The subject is The Thing in My Attic. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
The Thing in My Attic turned out to be as soft and as pink as a nursery. I didn't know what it was for many years, and I didn't like to go up there and look, because I had a horrible suspicion it might be Kenneth Williams. But then again, I thought, well, if I go up and peer about the place, it might be furry and dark with things hanging off it and a hint of verdigris in the twilight. And I wouldn't like to really come face to face with something that I wotted not of.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of face.
Yes, face to face, unfortunately, yes. But
it's hard to do it on your own, you know.
I know, a lot of people have discovered that, not only in just
a
minute.
I see.
Clement, you have 30 and a one half seconds on The Thing in My Attic, starting now.
The Thing in My Attic is a burst water pipe, which didn't just stay in the attic, but cascaded down into the bedroom, then on...
Clenneth Williams.
Deviation, the pipe didn't cascade. What
no,
it contained,
I quite agree.
What it contained might have done. I'm often taken aback by my own brilliance.
The water maybe, but not the pipe.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Clement, how will you justify that one?
The ceiling came down, the whole thing.
It's too late, you didn't establish it early enough. Kenneth has a correct challenge and 20 seconds on The Thing in My Attic, starting now.
The Thing in My Attic is something which I am not confident to talk about because I haven't got an attic, but I will...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Better shut up, then. Not competent to...
I think he's perfectly competent to talk about The Thing.
He said he wasn't.
Well, he's still making an effort to do so, which is
what happens
in just a minute. Oh. And he's making that effort, vainly, maybe, but 15 seconds are left on the subject starting now.
I would imagine in my attic, so to speak, of the mind, I would find a treasure house.
Peter Cook has challenged.
He said he hadn't got an attic. How do we know he's got a mind?
I'm going to put this one to the audience, I think.
I haven't come here to be insulted.
Well, it's up to them. I'm not going to judge on whether Kenneth Williams has got a mind or not. So if you think that Kenneth Williams has got a mind and you agree with Peter Cook's challenge, you cheer for him. And if not, you boo for Kenneth Williams and you all do it together now. They're all convinced you've got a mind.
It's like Peter Pan, isn't this
it?
Is.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes. We'll have the song sheet in a moment.
yes.
There are 8 seconds. You have an incorrect challenge there. You keep the subject, Kenneth. The thing in my attic starting now.
An old copper kettle, which if you polish it very...
Peter Cook has challenged.
He can't have an old copper kettle in his mind.
No, of course not. Well done, Peter. 5 seconds on the thing in my attic with you, starting now.
The thing in my attic has grown so large over the last few days.
The Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, you wicked so-and-so. And there's half a second to go. Got in on our guest just before. Thing in my attic, starting now.
Upstairs.
Well, Clement Freud got some points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, but he hasn't caught up on our two leaders. The situation now is actually that Kenneth Williams has overtaken Peter Cook, and he's out in the lead. Peter in second place, and he is also going to begin the next round. The subject for you, Peter Cook, is Queen Victoria's knickers. I'm sure that Ian Messiter, who thinks of the subject, feels you have personal knowledge or experience of this. So we ask you to try and go for 60 seconds on that, starting now.
The important subject of Queen Victoria's knickers was drawn to my attention last January when a pair of these undergarments were auctioned at Sotheby's and fetched £250. Now, in Victorian times, a pair of knickers of that type would have only cost 1p, that being the going rate with Victoria. And people are buying these knickers as a hedge against inflation. They are not putting knickers up in their gardens to shield themselves from the winds. Rather, they are putting these knickers in their attics or in their drawers to enable them to keep hold of something of value.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Deviation.
Why?
You can't put knickers into drawers.
It's a very good challenge, but it depends on the drawers, obviously. Maybe not into your drawers. But you could into the drawers of a chest.
Where do you put them? Filing cabinets?
Under N.
Peter Cook has an incorrect challenge. He keeps the subject and he still has Queen Victoria's knickers, metaphorically speaking, of course, starting now.
In the view that Queen Victoria's knickers will always be going up, the publisher flocked to buy knickers as a type of investment?
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes. And Clement Freud has the subject of Queen Victoria's knickers, and there are 8 seconds left, starting now.
Queen Victoria wore her knickers in Sandringham, which gave rise to the word Norwich, standing for knickers off ready when I come home.
So Clement finished that round with a nice flourish as the whistle went, gained an extra point. He's one behind Peter Cook, who's one behind Kenneth Williams, who's still our leader, and Kenneth is going to begin the next round. Eleanor Deuce, can you tell us something about her in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, of course, it should be pronounced Deuce, yeah. Eleonora Deuce.
Yes.
And, of course, in so doing, I realise I have repeated myself, but I'm allowed to because it is the subject on the card. This lady was born near Venice and began her theatrical career in Italy and scored an enormous success and then took by storm all the capitals, London. She played Paris, Berlin, and of course New York. Now then she retired from the stage, having given what she said was her all, and decided to have a rest, but was persuaded.
Barry took his challenge.
Well, he hesitated.
Yes, he did. And the subject is either the anglicised Eleanor Deuce or Eleonora Deuce, and you have 25 seconds on the subject, starting now.
Well, if her name was Eleonora Deuce, it sounds as if she was French, but I'm given to understand that the lady in question was, in fact, an Italian actress, and a superb one, who learned everything she knew in the theatres of Rome, Milan, Florence. Then she travelled to France.
Peter Cook has challenged.
Hesitation over her travels. Then she travelled to France. Did she travel to France, or did she get on a boat and go to France?
I don't think he hesitated enough to really warrant a fault within the game. So Barry keeps the subject, and there are 5 seconds on Eleanor Deuce, starting now.
In
Clement Freud.
Hesitation.
No. Barry Took has another point in 4.5 seconds on the subject, starting now. Clement Freud challenged the second time. Yes, I agree that time. There are 3 seconds on the subject, starting now.
I never saw it.
Barry Took challenged.
I was just wondering if my buzzer was working.
Well, you got in that time, all right. What is your challenge? You better say something.
I thought he hesitated in a most scurrilous way.
Absolutely right. 2 seconds with you, Barry Took.
When Eleonora Duse arrived in Paris, one of the most peculiar things...
So, Barry Took, or Took, I'm so sorry, because that was the
it's
Italian
It's pronounced Jews.
Yes.
Duke. 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 My name is really Peter Cook.
Peter Cook and Barry Took.
From Sweden, we are coming to enjoy
Sweden, we hope you like it here very much. It's awfully nice. But some of us go to Norway for our holidays.
Yes, also Denmark.
And Denmark is very pleasant. Well, we're going to Copenhagen.
Yeah, our two Scandinavian impersonators will desist for a moment. I'll tell you that Barry Took or Took did get a lot of points in that round, and he's only 1 point behind Clement Freud and Peter Cook, or 1 point behind Kenneth Williams. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, a good role, just a minute, starting now.
It's almost anybody's guess what is meant by a good role, but if I use it in culinary terms, I suggest that it is a large roll filled with best Jersey butter, and thereafter a selection of meats and fishes, pickles and chutneys, lettuce, cucumber, tomato, radishes, horse as well as the garden variety, and the colours should be red.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Well, we've gone a long way from a good roll. We've gone into vegetation, I think.
I think if you got all part. That into a roll, it really would be a
exactly.
good roll.
Here. Very good, Chairman. You see, the ruling is excellent.
Clement, you keep the subject. There are 33 seconds left, starting now.
Psyche is a role I never ever played, not in any play, not at school, university, the army, politics, or the Church Lands Brigade, which never would take me as a member, although I applied regularly on alternate Tuesdays throughout the years of 1929 to 36 through 48.
Peter Cook has challenged.
You started off on this bread roll full of rubbish, and now... You drifted into the theatrical.
I think you get him on repetition because he said every other Tuesday.
You know, actually, I agree with your challenge, Peter Cook. So you have 8 seconds on a good roll, starting now.
A good roll should be stuffed with spinach, and let's not mess about with any other kind of condiment or alimentation, as the French would say.
So, Peter Cook was speaking as the whistle went, got an extra point, and he is now in the lead with Clement Freud, and Kenneth is one behind them. And Barry Took is going to begin the next round, and the subject is quanting. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, Barry, starting now?
Always assuming that quanting is nothing to do with Mary Quant, I can only suppose that a quant is a pole for propelling a boat along canals and waterways, and at the pole that you actually use to quant has a cap on it, so I'm told, reliably, or a bowler hat, or indeed any kind of headgear. It's mainly used by the bargees of the East Coast, so that the act of quanting is the act of pushing the boat out. Now, I had always assumed, until I got that piece of priceless information, that it was a rude saying, as in, you have been tried and found quanting.
And Peter Cook has challenged.
Very, very long pause for a laugh.
Yes.
And a very small laugh for it, Mr. Chairman. Yeah.
Yes, I can't give you any points for the laugh, but I can give Peter a point for a pause and give him the subject with 17 seconds, Peter Cook, on quanting, starting now.
What little information we have got about quanting from Mr. Took, it could be written on the paper I'm holding in my hand, but... I would say about quanting...
Barry Took has challenged.
One of the longest pauses I've ever heard in my life.
Not the longest, but it was a pause. So, Barry, you have the subject back, and there are 6 seconds on quanting starting now.
Quanting is one of those things that sweeps through your...
Kenneth Williams.
Oh, yes, hesitation.
I think so again. Yes, 3 seconds. You have got the subject of quanting now, Kenneth, starting now.
What Barry Took has failed to tell you about quanting is that the pole... Hang on. I haven't told you. You should have clapped before I told you. The pole has on it a prong to stop it sinking into the mud. That is the whole point of the quanting, you see.
Well, that's gone.
As opposed to your punting. Yes, punting, you see, you've got no prong sticking out.
Do you mean
out.
The punt pole goes straight through the...
It goes straight down, you see, and straight? Could land you right in the mire.
Kenneth, let's play Just a Minute. You got an extra point for speaking as the whistle went.
Hooray!
And you're back in the lead.
Hooray!
Again.
Oh! Rapture's day.
Alongside our guest, Peter Cook, and Clement Freud and Barry Took are only a little way behind. And Peter Cook, it's your turn to begin. The subject is UFOs. Will you tell us something about those in Just a Minute, starting now?
The truth about unidentified flying objects is that perhaps in the vast... it's an old disease of mine.
Barry Took has challenged you. What is your challenge, Barry?
Well, I thought a certain amount of hesitation.
Yes, I think we'll give you hesitation.
I think the word sparfagler constituted a hesitation with...
Well, I think that's very noble and honest of you, Peter. You could have said it was Martian language. There are 47 seconds, Barry Took, UFOs, starting now.
Well, UFOs have been charted by many people in many lands and at many times.
Sightings and Clement Freud.
Three minis.
Too many minis.
Oh.
Too many.
43 seconds, Clement, on UFOs, starting now.
It's an extraordinary thing to hear how many people disbelieve in UFOs when you consider that those three letters only stand for unidentified flying objects. And almost anything which flies has got to be an object. And if you don't know what it is, there's a very strong argument for being unable to identify it. So when people come up to me and say, do you believe in those things? I say, well, frankly, yes. Because I have no ability to tell one aeroplane from another Zeppelin or a third fighter. And when somebody says, how about UFOs?
Kenneth Williams, Charles.
Who somebody says.
Yes, quite right. Well, listen, 6 seconds are left for you, Kenneth, on the subject of UFOs, starting now.
There was in New Zealand a pilot who had in the aeroplane a camera, and he did photographs.
Well, this week it's Kenneth Williams who's getting in just before the whistle each time and getting that all-important pointed alien point. He's getting the extra point anyway, and he's now in the lead by himself at the end of that round, and he's going to begin the next round, and I think it might even be the last one. The subject, Kenneth, is sunsets. You have 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning at the bar when I put out to sea. That I always think about when I do see a sunset, and how beautiful it is to watch that occur from the ship's rail when you're on a cruise and the light is fading. It's approaching the cocktail hour and you feel...
Peter Cook has challenged.
How can the light be approaching the cocktail hour? I don't know what cruises you go on. You don't get... On Cunard, you don't get lights coming up and approaching the cocktail hour. You get people coming up and approaching it.
Anything at all. Well done, Peter. Yes, I agree with the challenge. You have a point for that. And 36 seconds on sunsets, starting now.
Sunsets. How can we conjure up the true beauty of a word that means so much and yet so little to the people who have never seen one? Because underground there are little trolls and fairies, pixies who work away in the dark, and we don't know what they're up to, and we don't really care because nobody's ever seen them, and they can do what they like, provided they don't mess about and come into our houses with their nasty little shovels full of soil and throw it all over our carpets and things like that, do we?
They really enjoyed that, Peter, our audience here, but Clement Freud challenged...
Repetition of little, I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid there's too much of these little creatures.
Well, there is too much of these little creatures,
yes.
I've worked with one for years.
A
and I'm beginning to know how he feels.
So, Clement, I agree with your challenge. You have 8 seconds on sunsets starting now.
The sunset's east, the sunset's west, but I know where...
And Barry Took has challenged.
With great respect, the sun cannot set both in the east and the west.
No.
So
deviation. Deviation, yes, you're quite
right. I quite agree.
But I know where the sun sets best. It is a straight quote.
No, with great respect, it's the sun shines east, the sun shines west.
That's right, that is the correct quote.
You're quite right, actually, Barry. And you have 5 seconds on sunset starting now.
One of the most beautiful sunsets I ever saw in my life was coming from the east in a beautiful rosy...
Well, Barry Took got the point for speaking as the whistle went, so it now remains for me to give you the final score, and it was an incredibly close game this week. Our two guests, which Peter Cook has never played the game before, did extraordinarily well. In fourth place, but only by 1 point, was Barry Took, and just one ahead was in second place, equal, Peter Cook with Clement Freud, our regular who frequently wins, but just one ahead of them was this week's winner, the one and only Kenneth Williams. So Kenneth came to play and triumph once again at the expense of our two very clever and brilliant guests. And it only remains to say, hope you have enjoyed the show this week, and we want to tune in again next week. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by David Hatch.